Hi, this is Donna with the Waldorf Connection, and welcome to Lesson 2 for Waldorf Homeschool U, which is Rhythm and Schedules and Making It All Fit. So this, I'm so excited about this week's lesson because this is like one of the main things that I really love talking about, and I've done a lot of different programs on rhythm because I think it's really one of the most important things. Whether your child is actually in the grades or still in that early childhood stage, having your daily and weekly rhythm set up in an authentic, flowing way will make life so much easier for you. And then if you do decide to homeschool, to bring the homeschooling in, it just makes everything, it just makes everything fit, and it ends up, giving you a much more relaxed, stress-free environment. You're not busy trying to stay one step ahead of your children and you feel like you just are out of control and don't have it all together, because it can easily get like that if you have a couple children. Maybe you're working part-time or working from home, or just busy with a baby, nursing, and have got older children. And, just our day-to-day life these days are busy. We've got a lot of things that we do. We juggle a lot of different roles, and we wear a lot of different hats as moms. And so by having a rhythm and having a good foundation to your days will make things just a little bit easier for you. It'll take a lot of that energy that you focus now on, what are we going to have for dinner? What am I going to have for snack? Do I have something in the pantry to make? What's going to happen this afternoon? Oh, I forgot to go to the bank. I was supposed to put that laundry in. It never got done. We missed that, the homeschool lesson we were supposed to do. And you just feel like you're chasing your tail if you don't have rhythm really, set up. And, rhythm is sort of a living, breathing thing as well. You'll get something set up, and it's not going to be etched in stone, and it's not going to last forever, because you grow, your children grow, and things change. But you can have a really solid foundation in place, and you can by adjusting things a little bit as you go, it becomes more of an ally. Think of rhythm as an ally for you. There are a lot of benefits of having a good rhythm. Consistency. Your child knows what's happening. He knows what's coming next. He feels secure, and he feels that you know what's going on, because that's a real big part. The child doesn't need to feel like the parent is not sure. They need that stable environment. They need to know that you have it pretty much under control. Not that we know everything, of course, but that we're able to handle the day-to-day things that come, and that everything is going to be all right for them, and it's not their place to be steering the ship of your day. It's really your job as the parent to be, putting these pieces in place and to moving your child and guiding them, through the in and out breath of the day. And we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. And it's good for you as well, again, because we can spend a lot of energy putting out fires, making things up as we go along, having to do, figure out each meal individually versus having a meal plan set out for the week or for the month. And, that goes with everything, laundry, washing dishes, doing your day-to-day chores around the house, baking. Instead of feeling like you're always forgetting something, or you are forgetting something, by having your things set up in a rhythmic way, you're guaranteed that those things are taken care of. And you don't have to think so much about all of that. It's like it's done. You set up a bedtime routine instead of every night wondering, oh, my gosh, how is it going to go tonight? Is it going to be on time? Are they going to be dragging their feet? Is there going to be crying? And is it going to take an hour and a half? But once you get the bedtime routine set up, it's set up. Whether you may have to tweak here and there depending, but for the most part, it's all set up so you don't have to think about bedtime routine anymore. It just becomes a habit. It just becomes what you do. And that's really what rhythm is, and that's what I want to kind of go in right here as far as what is rhythm. It's just really something that you are doing over and over again, is considered a ritual or a rhythm, and it just really encompasses everything that we do, those daily and weekly activities that make up of our lives, dressing, waking, preparing meals, changing diapers, shopping, playing, sleeping, doing homeschool lessons, you know, whatever it is that's going on a daily basis. It's all part of our foundational rhythm. And that's really, you know, what a rhythm is. A lot of times people say they don't think they have a rhythm, but you'd be surprised. There are things that you do every day, you know, if you just kind of list them out. And we're going to go through some exercises here during this class to kind of get you familiar with what your rhythm is currently and then how you can restructure it in a little more efficient manner and balance it out so that you've got everything that you want in there. All right, so life is really a big rhythm if you think about the yearly rhythms, the monthly rhythms, the seasonal rhythms. And, you know, back in the older days, before the modern era, people lived and worked by these rhythms. You know, they got up with the sun, they plowed the fields, they planted seeds at the right time of the moon cycle, and they went to bed when it got dark, and they really were aware of the seasons. But we've gotten very out of touch with all of that as we, you know, live in houses now and we shop for our food from the market instead of, growing it in our gardens, and we just are unaware. So that's one thing Waldorf does really well, is kind of bring all of this back with the festivals and observing the seasons in nature, and it's all part of it. So I want you to think of rhythm as just part of something that's really already going on out there in nature, but how we can bring that into our homes and into our lives so that it does feel really natural, very rhythmic, and very relaxing and flowing, you know, instead of something like, oh, I have to schedule my days out. I don't want you to feel like, you know, we're here to map out every 10 minutes of your day. I did this when I first heard about rhythm. I took a piece of paper and literally, like, I think I had every 15 minutes, like 7 o'clock, wake up, 7:15, brush teeth and get dressed, 7:30, take a shower. I mean, I had it like mapped out. I did the whole day, and, you know, I thought, all right, great, now I have everything. All I have to do is follow this rhythm. And then I started trying like the next day, and I think I got to like 10 o'clock, and I was like, this is madness. I can't do this. It was crazy. So I'm not talking about scheduling out your minutes of the days. What I'm talking about here is setting up the pillars of your day and the foundation to your day so that you can, you know, put these big pieces in and then see in between where you have space to do some of the other things. And we'll get into that as we go into the layers of our foundation and of our rhythm. So I want to talk a little bit about the in and out breath. Because I think this is one of those terms that we hear a lot. If you're just coming to Waldorf or you've been around a little bit, you hear a lot about the in and out breath. And I just want you to think of that as sort of the ebb and flow of a tide. And that's really basically what it is. An in-breath activity is really one where a child or an adult kind of comes back into themselves. You know, it's something usually quiet, like painting or drawing. It has a relaxing, quiet activity. You know, you could still be doing something like painting, like I said, or drawing or something like that, but it's sort of like within yourself that you're doing it. And then an out-breath was, you know, more an active activity like singing, running, playing, dancing, you know, anything where a lot of it involves movement. It doesn't have to be, you know, for an example, it could even be like a meal. You could have a family who has dinner time that's very quiet, and you're just eating, and you're very kind of within. And then you could have a family that's has a dinner that's very boisterous. Maybe everyone's talking and laughing and passing the food, and you think of it that way. So even within activities, there can be an in and out component depending on the energy that you bring to it or that your family brings to it. So kind of keep that in mind as we're going through. And basically the idea is to create a balance, right, a balance with the in and the out breath activities. Because just think of a young child who's really forced to sit in a chair too long at church or at school or someplace where they just are wiggling. They can't sit there any longer. They've got to get out and do something more out breath. And the same goes for if your child has been playing hard for a really long time and they just, it's like they're overstimulated. They have no downtime and they can't relax. And then that's the time, you know, where they just almost melt down from overstimulation. So the idea is to have this balance throughout the day of in and out breath activities so that It's not an all or nothing, and you're not exhausted, or that you're not so pent up, you know, your child's not so pent up that they just have to, like, explode kind of a thing. So, all right, so that's kind of on in-and-out breath, and if you guys have any questions, of course, you can ask on our forum more about that. So let's talk about the foundation points of the day, and again, this is what I talked about. I'm going to go into more detail here about these foundational points, what I call them the pillars of the day, which are, again, the things that you must do each day. You know, meal time, meal prep, nap times, lessons, bath, bedtime, all those things that, you know, they're just sort of a given. You do them anyway. It's just, let's think about this. Let's think about them in a conscious way and say, okay, you know, what is it that I'm doing? You know, you can list them out on a piece of paper, and we'll be doing that. There's an exercise sheet here. If you can look at the PDF that I have. You can scroll down and check it out. Or if you just want to do it while you're, you know, while we're going through it, you can just write these things down, the main pillars of the day, things that you know you have to do every day. So, you know, I already talked about how you can kind of get off track if you are just trying to figure things out as you go along. And without some kind of a plan, it really can be that things get missed, things get overlooked, you get all stressed, you get angry, you start shouting. You know, it could just kind of go downhill from there. The children aren't sure why, you know, you're all stressed out. And, you know, I'm sure you've had hair days like that, and nobody likes that. It doesn't turn out good. And so if the majority of your days are sounding like that, it's time to really take a look at the rhythm and see, you know, where we can make some changes and give yourself a break, really, because honestly, having this rhythm in place will do wonders for you, I promise. Okay, so transitions. So when we say transitions, it's really moving from one activity to another, and you may have heard of this transition songs or children having trouble with transitions. Some children just have a harder time moving smoothly from one thing to another. You know, depending on the child and the age of the child, you know, sometimes I'm sure you've seen this where the child is, you know, doesn't want to come to dinner and you're calling them, they're playing something, they're very engrossed in what they're playing or they're doing, they don't want to come or they don't want to leave the playground, they're having such a great time, there's no way they're leaving, you know, and it can become a scene. So rhythm helps with this in a lot of ways because having a rhythm, after a while, they'll get used to what you're doing. And this includes, like, bedtime. That's a big one because this is the way we do it. So, you know, you may have a child that tries to keep getting up or stalling or wants water, doesn't want to, you know, wants 10 stories instead of 2 stories. And if every night you're doing your bedtime routine in a different way, then they have no idea what to expect, and they will keep testing you to see how much they can push or how late they can go to bed or whatever. And it's not that they're trying to be disobedient. They're just, you know, they're like, there's no boundaries there for them. So by establishing this rhythm, it gives them a chance to just follow the way it goes. And this is just the way we do it. There's not a lot of questioning there because this is it. You know, this is how we do it. So there's less discipline issues with rhythm because it becomes, well, you know, they just stop questioning because it's the same every night. And, you know, and it may take, you know, a few days or even a week or so to get that going. But then once you do, it becomes effortless. And then they stop testing and they stop saying, oh, well, Mom said she was going to do this. If I don't leave, you know, all that, if you don't leave the playground right now, then you're not going to have ice cream when you get home and all those kind of threats and things we could try to make to get our children to do things instead of, you know, it's time for us to go because this is how long we stay at the playground and, you know, it becomes more ingrained and it just becomes what happens. There's a lot less questioning. And because you seem to know what you're saying too, you're not all wishy-washy because you're on your rhythm. You know, this is how it goes every day. There's no question. Then the authority is there as far as, okay, Mom knows what's going on. Next, we have to go run some errands, so let's go. And it becomes, you know, a lot more solid. And they see that you are like, okay, she's in charge, and this is what we're going to do. So back to transitions. So there are different ways that you can help or move into a transition. If you feel like you've got a spot during the day that could use a little help, and depending on what it is, there are you can sing a transition song, and there are many simple songs out there. You can make one up. I was amazed the first time that I saw this happen. I didn't even know what it was, but I my children went to this kind of a morning garden, Waldorf-style morning garden, and I would stay, and I would watch, just observe to see what was happening. And this lady, you know, they would be chopping vegetables or doing something in the kitchen, and then all of a sudden she would just start singing the song, and she would walk into the other room, and she had a book in her hand, and they lit a candle, and I mean, the kids were, it was like the Pied Piper. They just followed her in there, and they all sat down quietly and sat there and got ready to listen to her tell the story for their story time. I'm trying to remember what the song was there. If I give it a minute, it might come to me. There are many songs out there. There's a couple good CDs. I'll put that up on the resources guide. I've got one of them here, and I'm going to put it here, CD. Okay. You know, there's some you can just Google for transition songs. The other thing is to use music or bells, and this I have also used. It's very effective and still used. We have one of those little musical triangles, the little metal ones, with a little thing that you ding, 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 and it's amazing how effective this is. I could be yelling out the door, dinner or lunch is ready, come and get it, and I don't even hear a, they don't even, it's like they just can't even hear me, and I could ring that bell quietly and they will come running. So I think it's just, they kind of tune us out with the talking, and if we could do something that's different, whether it's whispering or singing or music, ringing a bell, a harp, a kinder harp, anything, then I think it's something different, and they take their attention, and they go, oh, I hear something different. I'm going to tune into what it is. The other thing is to speak in images. And this is really good, for, especially for the younger children, you know, who are not wanting to go to bed or don't want to come to dinner. You know, if they're over there playing with our horses or something and they're all into it, you can, you know, use what they're currently playing if you can. Ooh, the horses are so hungry. It's feeding time. Can you ride him on into the stable so he can have his oats? Oh, he's so hungry, and the food is waiting here for him. So, you know, really, instead of, you know, Sue, I told you to come and eat. It's getting cold, and all of you know, you kind of hear that same thing. And instead, try to get into what, or drive that truck on in here to the garage, you know, and try to, you know, kind of get into where they are. Instead of trying to pull them out and snap them out of their imagination, slowly draw them with images, you know, or have a little story or something that kind of draws them in to bring them over. Let's all hop down this, you know, hop down the hall like a bunny and brush our teeth, those big teeth. Let's see those big white bunny teeth, you know, that kind of a thing where you're using the, it's a lot more interesting to say something like that rather than go brush your teeth, you know, kind of a thing, especially with the younger ones. Now, you know, I know I'm realistic here that sometimes you just don't feel like doing that, you know, especially at the end of the day. So, you know, having these rhythms in place are really important. I think especially, you know, the end of the day, meal prep, bath, after dinner, and bedtime routine, because we're tired by that time and our patience is less. So having a really strong evening rhythm to me is really, really important. And we'll talk about, you know, getting some help too if you're married or, you know, having the spouse, your husband, wife take over when you can. So there are three ideas for transitions. And then there's also, if you look on our PDF workbook, there's a sample transition template where I've got some different ones here for mealtimes, dinner, and bedtime so that you can see, you know, kind of when to use what to have it, you know, to get a little bit more effective there with the transitions. And you can take a look at that. Okay, just going through here. So I'm going to talk just briefly. There's so much to talk about here. And I'm not going to go through, I'm going to do this talk here that you guys are going to have, and then you're going to listen. I've already recorded several audios from my home study, Four Steps to Rhythm, that's going to walk you through a lot of this more in detail. instead of me just like re-talking it over, I'm just going to give you these audios so you can have them. But I just want to talk about some other stuff here and kind of set it up and then let you go through that. So we're going to talk about boundaries. And you know, this, it's all about this balance. And this is just notes I made about balance. You know, when we're trying to figure out our day, when we're trying to get everything to work, you know, in this perfect harmony, this sort of idea that we have in our minds of how our days are going to look, and suddenly, you know, we're going to be these Waldorf amazing extraordinaire, and everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows. But, you know, that's not really not going to happen. It never happens here in my house. And, I mean, of course, it's a lot better when we do have our rhythm. But, there are still days where things don't go as planned. But when you have rhythm and, you know, a good rhythm in place, it's a lot easier to kind of get back into that rhythm and to fall back in place, whether if you're sick or you're out of town or just something's come up and you kind of get off your game a little. It's a lot easier to just go back to that solid rhythm if you have something in place. Okay, so boundaries. You know, you may not realize that you have a boundary issue, and this may be something you might be thinking, what is she talking about boundaries for? But I bet there are a lot of things that you do that you don't realize, things you take on, things you say yes to, where you may not really want to be, but you feel like you have to. And so I just want to talk briefly about boundaries and about how sometimes there are, you know, a lot of things in our life that bleed over, right? We're homeschooling, we've got children, maybe we work from home, we're all in the same place, and it's real easy for all those lines to get blurred and for us to be saying, okay, yeah, but can you just, you know, help with this, and can we just help with that? We just, you know, as women, and most of you, I think, are moms on this that are in our group here, we're automatically, you know, we're nurturers. We want to help. We want to give. We want to, you know, do everything we can to help, you know, our family and nurture and our community. And so that's just our way. And that's just, it feels natural to us. So, yes, we're always giving, giving, giving. That's like our gift. But there comes a point where we can just be giving too much, and then we start to stretch ourselves too thin. You know, we're juggling just too many plates. And so, you know, we may start feeling like we have to say yes, we have to do this, we have to do that. And that's when you start to get into a little bit of trouble, I think, when you are feeling obligated rather than really wanting to do an activity. So, you know, you might be the one who's always driving the carpool. You might be the one that's asked to host the festival, or you've got, you know, maybe some neighbor's kids or your friend's kids always at your house, but you never get you know, to have the time free and have them, you know, kind of reciprocating, you know, and it could be just something, and people don't intentionally do this. I think they just, you know, I used to get this a lot too, you know, my husband or my family, can you just help with this? And I just need this one small favor. And you want to say yes, 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 until, you know, all the plates come crashing down that you've been juggling and you finally just kind of blow up. So I just want to give this in here, and I'll talk a little bit more about this in those recordings that you're going to hear. And that is just, you know, it's okay to say no to something if it's not aligned with your family values or it's not on your path. If it takes you away from another activity that you need to be doing or that you agree to do it out of obligation and your plate is too full and you can't or you don't want to do any more. I mean, sometimes we have to just say, you know, enough is enough. No, I don't want to do it. And we feel guilty. We feel like we're a bad mother or a bad person because we can't help. But, you know, all we're doing is just diluting ourselves and our energy down to the point where we don't have anything left. And I don't want that, you know, for you. So you can kind of take a look at that as you're making out your new, you know, rhythms. Kind of keep this in mind. Are there things you're doing currently that you don't really want to be doing anymore? You know, why are we doing it? Why are you doing it? Now, maybe there's some things you have to do, or maybe there's some things you have to finish up, but perhaps you can, you know, kind of axe that off your schedule going forward if it doesn't something that doesn't feel right. Maybe it was something you liked doing previously, but things have changed, and now you're going in a different direction, or you just don't have time for this anymore if you've added some new things on your plate. You know, we can't do everything, and we just have to decide right now, you know, what is it that's really important? And there's a whole section in my in those audios about family values, and we'll talk about that a little bit here. The next thing is about confidence, and it kind of goes right along here, and that is, you know, it is hard sometimes what we're doing. You know, this is a whole different way of educating our children, and it could feel like kind of foreign to us. I know it did to me. It was totally different than anything I'd ever seen before or heard before, and it was totally different than what all my friends were doing, so I kind of felt a little odd, like the odd one out, and the stress can be on anyway, you know, these days with children and academics. And I think for me, the hardest time was, you know, that age 5 and 6, 7, when my children were not really reading yet, and most of all the other children their age were. There's a lot of pressure. And I think a lot of you have children that age. So I just want to, we can take this, you know, on to our forum and talk more about it. But you know, I just want you to know that that's one of the reasons that I'm offering this course, because I want you to understand the whole picture behind what we're doing here. And if this is what you want and this is resonating with you and you know that this is what you want for your children, then you just have to stand tall in what you're doing and say, no, I know this is the right thing for my, you know, family. I'm going to have faith it's all going to work out and everything's going to be fine. And you know, and that's kind of where I was when I was going through it. And now my children, you know, are 10 and a half and they're really just doing fantastic. I have that gift of, you know, of hindsight. You know, I can go back and say, okay, good. I'm so glad I waited and that I didn't force them to read earlier. You know, I remember there was a time where I wasn't sure whether I was going to wait and do that second year of kindergarten. They were 6, and I thought maybe we should start. And I, you know, I went back and forth. I thought they would be bored or they wouldn't want to do it. And now looking back, I'm so glad I waited, because they were so ready for it when it was time, you know, to get into it. And they were just turning 7 when we started first grade. And, you know, again, I've got the gift of hindsight and to look back and say it all worked out. I'm so glad we waited. It was easy. It was smooth. All of the reading, it was like, I don't even know how they learned to read almost. It was like they just were so ready. It just happened. That's all I can say. We learned the letters, and the next thing I knew, they were reading. It was like a magical thing. It just was like a snap, you know. And you may hear horror stories of you know, others trying to teach their young you know, children how to read. And of course, that's just one example. But I'm just trying to talk about the confidence that there's a little bit of faith to kind of go on in those earlier years before you really start to see the fruits of the labor. So it's like planting seeds, and really it is. And then by the time they're in 3rd and 4th grade, they just begin to blossom. And you think, oh my gosh, thank God I stuck to my guns and I did, you know, I stayed on the path and I just, you know, held my head up and just kind of plunged on through and did it, because it's really amazing. And I'll be happy to talk to anyone more about this if you wanted to have a bigger discussion about it. All right, and the last thing here is about self-care. And again, you know, we talked a little bit more about the boundaries, about if mom's tank is empty, then she cannot nurture her family and others. And, you know, we really can't do it all by ourselves. It's just, you know, we shouldn't try, because, you know, I think that whole super mom model is falling away, and we're starting to realize that we do need others. We are all connected, and we all need to ask for help, and it's okay, you know, because it really does take a village to raise a child. And you know, it's okay to ask for help and to have a little alone time. It's okay to crave some alone time, especially if you've got younger children. I went through a stage where I just, as soon as my husband got home, I just wanted to leave. And I felt really guilty about it, for like, what's wrong with me? Why do I just want to get away? You know, and I mean, and it was just like a 6-month period where I just needed to be like by myself and have quiet. You know, and I worked through it, and then it was like, I just, you know, our children, especially if you've got young children, they're sharing our energy all day, and I had 2 exactly the same age, and it was very draining. And if you've got young children, you know, you'll feel the same. So you've got to be able to refuel your own tank before you can be effective, and you've got to recharge yourself. And, you know, there's many ways to do that. You can, you know, just have a coffee night out with a girlfriend or sister. I have a date. Me and my husband have date night. We started this years ago. Every Saturday night, you know, without fail, unless we're sick or something, we have a date. You know, even if we just go down the street for an hour or two and have a, you know, a dinner or, you know, and if it was a matter of finances, sometimes we just stayed here and rented a movie, you know, or just talked, you know, and just, it was like our time though. And I swear sometimes it seems like the only time during the week where we really get a chance to connect. And I feel like myself, I feel like I can just be Donna for the night instead of mommy and business owner and all the other things. And it's just, it's a welcomed night of just relaxation and kind of reconnecting. And also what I've noticed is if you have a passion, whether it's, you know, singing or drawing, painting, yoga, reading, gardening, anything like that that you really love to do, that's like one of the quickest ways to refuel yourself. Because I don't know what it is, when we do something we love, it just energizes us and it kind of grounds us and brings us back, kind of, and centers us. So even if you schedule just a few minutes, you know, once a week or twice a week or as often as you can, giving yourself even just 15 minutes in the morning to yourself or in the evening, you know, getting that bedtime routine done in early enough so that you have some free time in the evenings. And you'll see I have a kind of a sample schedule of my rhythm. And my kids have always gone to bed early. 7:30, you know, it's been pushed to 8, now a little bit later that they're a little older, but they're in there at 8 o'clock, even if they're reading by themselves. I'm done at 8 o'clock. So I've got time, you know, I've got an hour or two or whatever, or three if I want to stay up later, where I can just do whatever I want, talk to my husband, watch a TV show, read a book, you know, work, take a walk, whatever, go to the gym if I wanted to or whatever, you know. So I know I have those evenings, and it gave me something to look forward to sometimes when it was crazy days. I'll tell you, oh, it's 7:30 here, I just want to relax, but I knew that was coming. So I knew I had that in place. And then again, just enlisting help from relatives, friends. Can you swap, you know, child care? You know, I'll take your kids this week if you take mine next week, kind of a thing. Or a mommy's helper, a sister, you know, a babysitter, whatever you can do. I think it's good to have a little time to just get out, you know, change your perspective. It could be an hour, and it could make such a difference just by having that time to yourself and to kind of refresh. All right, here. So we're going to talk about the rhythm, three layers of rhythm, which is the, we talked a little bit about the foundational pieces, which are our, you know, the basics that we have to have done, the laundry, the meals, the shopping, the errands, the, you know, the naps, the washing the dishes. All those foundational pieces will make up most of your day. You know, it's the kind of the, it's the largest part. So if you look on my drawing, think of a big pyramid. And so the bottom third, or really more than a third, is going to be your foundational activities. That's what the, you know, the majority of the day is consist of. And then you've got some changeables, I call them. Think of things that are going on sometimes, but not always. So it could be like a sport your child is doing. Maybe you have soccer for 6 weeks. We have like this, you know, fall soccer. So we have a 6-week period where we have soccer practice and a game or whatever. Maybe you've got something else, you know, swimming lessons, or maybe you're just like real into gardening. So you've got a lot of gardening and you're planting in the spring. So you've got something that's happening seasonally or, you know, throughout the year, different times, but it's only something that's like temporary. It's not going to be something that's going on every day, like meal planning. And those are some things you'll have to figure into your schedule as well, and it could be some changeables. Or maybe you're doing something with your church for a couple month period, or maybe you're in a play or something and you're going to be doing that for the next few months, whatever it might be, just something that's temporary or changeable. And I call that the changeable layer, something that can you can put in there that will move around, may be in here now or may not be. And then I've got the fun layer, which think of it as like the top part, which is all the great stuff. That is the, you know, this is your extra time to do all these things that you've been waiting around to do, all the fun things, all the great activities, you know, whether it's, you know, fun activities with your child, you know, knitting, doing that painting you've been wanting to do with your child, going to the park or playgroup, reading, you know, whatever it is. It could be whatever it is for you. It could be, you know, family time that you have to go hiking or on a trip, you know, whatever it is. It's that fun time. So if you kind of think of that, you know, as your layers, as you're going through, you've got your foundation, then you've got some changeables, and then you've got the fun, which is kind of the icing on the cake. And I'm going to talk briefly here about family values. I do go into that a lot in the other classes. And that's to take time to discover your family values and goals. And this was something that I had not thought about doing and did a couple years ago. You know, I mean, you know, we never had an official conversation like, oh, you know, this is what's important to our family. We kind of knew some things, and, you know, I knew I didn't want to work, that I wanted to stay home with the children when they were born and all of that. But we never really talked about it once the girls were here and they were, you know, seven. And, you know, so it was really great. I used one of my Saturday night date nights and just, you know, we just had this great conversation, like, what's really important to you now? What do you wish we did more often that we don't do? And it was great because I got to get input from him, and we really got to talk openly about things and about the way we were raised and what we wished we had when we were kids. And, you know, not about just about things we do, but also, you know, what did we want to instill in our children? Like, what were our family values? Like integrity and honesty. And we wanted our children to always be able to talk with us, to be very open and feel comfortable, you know, coming to us, you know, especially as they get older into those teenagers. We want to lay the foundation for that now. Or we wanted to be very eco-friendly and organic. And so whatever, I mean, you just have the conversation with your spouse, or if you're not married, with a, you know, a good friend or a sister, or maybe you just list out some things, you know, that you want to have. But it's just, you know, it's not that you don't know these things, but you may not have had the time or not thought to sit down and actually, like, think about them. Like, okay, this is what I want, but am I actually doing any of this? You know, these are what's really, really important to me. And so, you know, when we work out our rhythm here, it's a chance to say, okay, I do want to have a family activities, or I do want a family game night, or, you know, I want us to go camping once a month. You know, but when you take a look at your schedule and your, you know, what's happening, is that actually happening? You know, probably a lot of it isn't. So unless we, you know, formally write it down and make an effort, a conscious effort to add these things in, they can, you know, easily get lost in the hustle bustle and just swallowed up by everyday life and things that happen. You know how that goes. We get so busy, you know, 10 years goes by and we think, gosh, we were supposed to have camping trips. We haven't had any camping trips, you know. So if you don't make a conscious effort to get those in on the schedule, not that it's always going to happen, but it'll be a lot bigger chance for you if you've put it on there as one of the things that's really important that you want to do. And you may have to look at your schedule and say, well, I don't even see how we could fit that in. Well, then look at some of the other things you're doing. Are, you know, what's the most important thing? Is it more important to get together as a family, or is this other thing over here more important? Maybe it's time to shift and drop some of the things that you're doing, you know, in favor of this new thing that you both really, really want, or you all really want as a family. And it's about choices and decisions, you know, because the last thing I want is for you to be like, how do we get way over here? You know, down the road, you wake up and you're like, what happened? The years went by and we didn't do what I really wanted to do. So, you know, just take time, and you'll see in the exercises, there's the thing, talk about family values. There's examples of family mission statements. You know, you guys really decide what your mission statement will be as your family. There's a lot of websites you can find on family mission statements. It's really fun, and you can, you know, make your own little family mission statement, put it on the refrigerator, and that way you'll know what you stand for. And once you do know what you stand for or where the direction you're going, it makes deciding what activities you're going to put in there a lot easier, and easier for you to say, hey, wait a minute, is this really, you know, on my path? Can I say yes to this, or is this taking us totally away from where we really want to go? So it's making that decision. It's deciding, you know, what direction you want to go, and then keeping to it. Not that you can't deviate, but sometimes there's only so many hours in the day and days in the week to get everything in. And I want you to make sure that you are getting in what you really, really want during those fun times, instead of just kind of going, you know, getting swept along with the current. Okay, so then during, if you look on our PDF, I've got two different timelines here. One is the weekly rhythm timeline, and you can see I've got here an example, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it's just, you know, you can just kind of fill in with those things that you know you'll be doing that day, whether it's if you have music class, I've got music here, baking, if you have a baking day, a work, a homeschool co-op, Saturday is family day, Sunday church, or, you know, whatever it could be for you. If you have something, maybe there's nothing really going on, and those days are nice too. You don't, and what I mean by something going on, of course we always have things going on, but this is sort of like the extra thing. This is like those things that happen, okay, this is sort of your once a week, okay, I do this, or you have library day, or, you know, you have to work that day. Something that's different than you don't normally do is what this is kind of about. So you can kind of put those things on here and take a look. So you can go ahead and write in your current schedule. Monday, Tuesday, maybe you've got, like I said, a homeschool co-op one day, gymnastics maybe one day, music lessons, you know, things that you have to go and do, errands. Maybe you have like a big shopping day where you go and do, you know, the week's grocery shopping or something, and you can put that on there. So I want you to kind of fill in on this template. You can print out and fill in your current schedule. And then after you kind of really think about, you know, what you want to do as far as we just talked about, like the family values, maybe it's really crammed. You know, maybe you've got like two or three things a day and you don't even have room to write on these lines. So, you know, take a look and see. Are you so squished up and have got something every single day that maybe you need to take a look at that? Is there a place that you could open it up? Is there a place where you could have those days where you just have nothing to do? Because I know that when I wake up and go, oh, I don't have to go anywhere today, I don't have to do anything. And, you know, not that I don't have anything to do, but I don't have anything extra I have to do other than our basic rhythm. Those are the days I love, because I think you know, the possibilities are open, and just whatever comes up, if something spontaneous comes or we want to go down to the beach, we just go. And I love days like that. It makes it fun, and it makes it exciting, and it gives you that breathing room. So take a look and see where you can breathe on your schedule. Is there a place you can open it up? Do you have a family day scheduled, or a family night, or bowling once a week, or whatever? You know, look at your schedule. And is there a thing that you can phase out? You know, maybe not today, but maybe in another month or so, is there something you can phase out to open up space? Or maybe you just need to get out and schedule some more things. I find it hard to believe that that would be the case. I think we're probably tend to do too much versus not enough. But if you're one that really doesn't have anything, then maybe finding a play group or a co-op or some kind of a weekly outing, a library day or something with your child, you know, maybe that would be something you could, you know, strive for, adding some things in where you are getting a chance to meet with other moms, or a coffee night with a friend, you know, or whatever it might be. So I want you to go ahead and do that. I would love to hear comments on our blog about that. And then, of course, the next one is our daily rhythm. And, you know, this is going to take practice. This is going to need some refining. And it always is a process. It is a process. It's not like, oh, I'm done. I have my daily rhythm and I'm good. but there are a lot of pieces that you can get into place, like I was saying. And then you may just have to tweak here and there. So take a look at this. And I want you to, you'll see there's an example here of some things that I've got on here for mine. Morning routine. And then I labeled it with the O's and the I's for the out breath and the in breath, so that you can see how it's balanced. And if you've got a whole lot of I's or a whole lot of O's in a row, you know, maybe there's a way you could switch things around and see. You have too many out breaths, or too many in breaths, excuse me, too many in breaths all at once, or is it kind of balanced? And this is a way for you to kind of look, to go through your current schedule. What is your schedule? you know, do you have a schedule? And decide what your schedule is going to be. So I'm not going to go through it here on the call, but I want you to make sure you go through this and take, you know, take notes, you know, make comments. You can print it out several times. And then below, once you put your current schedule, then what your new schedule could be. You know, and you just, you know, you're the artist of your day. You're the creator of your day. And during the other audios, you'll go through an exercise where you imagine in your mind what would be your perfect day. And I want you to do that. I want you to say, you know, it's your life. You are the one who are, you're the kind of the steer of the ship here. Decide what you want, you know, and don't accept anything less if you can make it work, because it's your life and it's your child's life. And there's nothing to say that it has to look one certain way. You know, everybody's days look totally different. It doesn't matter. You know, there's not a one-size-fits-all here with rhythm. That's why I can't just say, here's your rhythm, go do it, because it depends on you and your family and your family dynamics and your personalities and, you know, how many children you have and if you work. And there's so many factors that there's not an easy answer. It's what you value and what you want and what works for you. So creating this ideal rhythm is really a lot about you, and you've got to do the work to kind of get things set up. But once you get that done and you get that foundation in place and get things rolling, you'll see the difference and how confident you'll feel and how much more relaxed it'll really make a difference. Okay, and then here's a sample of my daily rhythm. I gave you a template here. I also included a meal chart because I think that meal planning is a big part of rhythm. And having a rhythm set up because, you know, let's just face it, preparing meals is what we do all day, it seems. I know it did for me. It was like if it wasn't breakfast and snack and lunch and snack and dinner and snack, it was like I was constantly doing something with food. So trying to figure out, you know, what to cook or what to make is a big thing. But if you have some kind of a meal plan done in advance, whether you do it on a weekly rotating schedule or a monthly or every other, you know, 2 weeks and then rotate, it's not as hard as you think. It doesn't take as long as you think. I just gave some examples here of, you know, 1 week's worth. So you could, you know, just use this. And by making a meal plan, it's not like you have everything. Like this meal plan is not totally real detailed. Like you'll see for breakfast, it says omelet, lunch, pasta, dinner, chicken. But it gives you a starting place. And then you can decide, oh, okay, yeah, I think I'll try that Mexican chicken recipe I was thinking about. But if you've got the idea, you know, it's like some place to start. And then you certainly can go in and make it a lot more detailed. But I think by having these categories, it gives you a big place to start, and it doesn't have to be every week is Mexican chicken. You know, you can vary the chicken or you can vary the pasta, but at least it gives you a place to start. You can shop and have the ingredients on hand. And then certainly you can switch your days up because you have everything. You don't buy a whole bunch of food that doesn't, like, turn out to be a meal and doesn't really make anything, and you buy a bunch of extra, you know, stuff and waste money versus, you know, just buying what you need for your meals and snacks. So I encourage you can certainly use this or just kind of tailor it to, you know, whatever you have, but to try this meal plan. And you will find that that is a huge part of your day that you don't have to mess with anymore once your meals are in place, at least knowing and having everything there. You can just look at the chart like, oh, today's waffles. And I know my kids were always like, what's for breakfast? What's for lunch? And I would be like, and I'd be looking around, I don't know. And then, you know, if I have the meal plan going, it's like I can go, oh, we're having hummus with raw vegetables today. And they'll be like, oh, good, that sounds great, you know. I'm like, oh, mommy has it together. And you feel that way as well. And then I've got some top tips to having a rhythmic day on this PDF. And, you know, this is really nice. I'll just kind of read through this, and you can read it on the PDF. I had a couple of the Waldorf moms that I knew give some tips on their, you know, making a rhythmic day. And my friend Valerie said, the night before, she writes down the 5 most important things to accomplish the following day and puts it on their fridge. And then when she wakes up, she takes a few quiet moments for herself. And then also important to take breaks throughout the day. And Jennifer Tan says, planning meals and meal times on weekdays. Definitely. And she talks about Steiner's grain and color of the day. And I have included the grain and the planet and some recipe ideas here a chart if you'd like to follow that. That could be a rhythm in itself, where you can just follow these grains of the day, whether you put them into breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you can follow along that. There's a whole thing, in fact, that makes me, I'll make a note, Steiner's grains of the day. I'll link to that. Rebecca said, have the three pillars that you work your day around. For them, it's breakfast together, our afternoon walk, and a group snuggle at bedtime. And besides that, meal planning, a household management binder that's nice to look at and full of all the information I need in one place so I can check things quickly, write notes, and it's all in one place. And Christy Byrne says, again, the three pillars are anchors but keeps her together. Have a goal for what you want your rhythm to feel like, because even if you don't make everything on your list, at least you've got something to strive for, and that you know, you can have that feeling. And then really that is what we're talking about here when I ask you to create your own day and what you want it to feel like. It'll go into that. I'll go into that in my other audios. All right. And then I've got the grains of the day. I've got some resources at the bottom, some other books you can read on Rhythm, which is Heaven on Earth, Sharifa Oppenheimer. That's a great one if you've got younger children. Also, Simplicity Parenting, excellent book on living a simplistic lifestyle. A lot of the concepts I got out of from the weekly timeline thing came from that. So check out that book. You can get it at the library even. Simplicity Parenting, Kim John Payne is excellent. Talking about rhythm and scaling back and living simply. And I'll have those all posted up on the website as well. All right, so this is sort of an overview of rhythm and making it fit. I'm going to also put up the audios for you to listen to, the four steps to rhythm, so that you can make everything fit and really make it your own, because that's what I want for you more than anything, is to make that rhythm your own. Make it fit you and your family, and not have you try to fit yourself into this other box or follow the rhythm that I've made up, because it won't work for very long. I mean, you can glean ideas from other people, but then you've got to turn around and make that your own and make it fit you. So I'd love to hear questions about rhythm. I'm all about rhythm, so please post, and I will talk to you again. Bye-bye.